our heads in prayer. Dear gracious and loving Father, we're so thankful, O God, that you yourself have come to us in this hour. As Paul said, that you've come to crown us with a crown of righteousness, O God, to bring down your glory, your doxa, your opinions, your values, and your assessments, your judgments, O God. And Father, we just pray that we would hold to your values, that your values would be our values, O God, that we would accept, O God, not only accept, but it would become part of us, it would express through us your expression, O God, of your opinions and your values. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now this morning, we're going to speak on a subject of the falling away from the faith or the abandoning of the faith. And we know that faith is a revelation. It's something that has been revealed to you. And this abandonment of the faith is the revelation of Christ, or the doctrine of Christ, as John calls it in 2 John 9. Is that big enough for you? Okay. Actually, sometimes I bring out the document, and sometimes I bring out the PDF. I think the PDF goes a little bit bigger. But anyway, we see it mentioned several times in Scripture as a characteristic of the end time. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 14, we read, "Now the Spirit..." That's the Holy Spirit, God himself. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, in the end times, some shall depart from the faith, not just faith, but the faith. And so we ask the question, how do they do it? And he says, by giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, Brother Branham says this is not a departure from faith in general, but from the faith. And it tells us that you cannot have the faith, which is one faith, without having one Lord. So if you have I'll just read what he said first. Now, here from Anointed Ones at the end time, he said, "Now here come Paul right behind him and said, now in the last days there will come a religious people, see, having a form of godlikeness," because that's what the word godliness means, having a form of godlikeness, and lead silly women, led away with all kinds of worldly, now as Jannes and Jambres listed Moses, so will these reprobates. Now reprobate mind concerning the faith, not a faith, the faith. One faith, one Lord, at one. You can't have one faith without believing in one Lord. You can't have two baptisms, not one for Father and Son and Holy Ghost. There's one baptism, Jesus Christ. That's right. See, false baptism. Therefore, if you have more than one Lord, you will have more than one faith. Because he said you can't have one faith without believing in one Lord. That's just what he said. So what is that? Now listen, what did we read? The Spirit speaketh expressly in the latter time some shall depart from the faith. And how do they do it? By giving heed to seducing spirits. It sounds good. A seducer is not a rapist. A seducer is one who lures in by words. It's attractive. It sounds good. And what is it? It's the doctrine of devils. Doctrine of devils. Now, from escape, come hither. Excuse me. So what is that when you have more than one Lord? It's a falling away from the faith. It's a deviating from the path. It's falling away from the doctrine of Christ, which says one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And the same Apostle Paul that taught this, he said, if any man adds to or takes away from what I have taught, let him be cursed. That's why Brother Vail, he corrected that error. He said, it's a fallacy. And he said, but if you want to remain stupid, go ahead, remain stupid. But I told you what I told you, and Brother Vail never mentioned that word again. Now from escape, hither come quickly. Brother Ram said, oh brother, what a day that we're living in. The Bible said in that day, in 1 Timothy, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days they'll depart from the faith. And it will be heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. Think about that. Lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. You can hardly get 40 or 50 people in to a church on Sunday. But you can get people to the parks. You can get people out skiing and water skiing and boating and all kinds of activities. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And he says, and I come to the church the other night. It was altogether too snowy and too bad to come here. But they had a basketball game. And they had to turn hundreds away. What is it? Their God is a basketball. And what is your God then? A big, blowed up piece of air. I'm glad that our God is the Lord Jesus Christ in the person of his resurrection, a real living creator who made the heavens and earth. But they want to see that, because that's the kind of spirit in them draws for that. The spirit in a Christian draws him to Christ. How can man come to me except my Father draws him? Now, I'm going to say some things this morning that are corrective. Please, brethren, understand this. If you're in error, if you make mistakes, my kids make mistakes, my grandchildren make mistakes, I don't love them any less. Now, sometimes, you know, you have to scold, and I remember with my oldest, I had to talk to her different than I had to talk to Christina. Christina, I just look at her and she'd melt. Elizabeth, I'd have to look at her and browbeat her and just, you know, get, you know, just put on a show, actually, to get her scared. There's just, everybody's different. So if you hear me come across a little bit stronger, it's a show. All right? I don't say that I'm up here performing. What I'm trying to tell you is, it doesn't mean I hate you. It doesn't mean I dislike you. I love you. And I want to see every person in here make it. I want to share eternity with all of you. Amen? Okay, so please understand, because there's some things that I'm going to say. I've got to say the Holy Spirit put them in my heart to say. So whether it is a basketball that keeps you away from Wednesday nights or football, or even a Super Bowl that keeps you away from communion service every January, let me repeat what this vindicated prophet has said. He said, what is your God then? A big, blowed up piece of air. Remember, this is the hour he wants to give us his glory. His glory is what? His what? Opinions and his values. And what does God value? You know, he put 10 commandments, just 10. And one of them says, keep holy the Sabbath. Keep holy the Sabbath. William Branham, a little Catholic boy, 12 years old. Every single Saturday night. He was a trapper. He made money trapping. When I was a kid, I was a trapper. When I was 12 years old, I was a trapper. That's what we did back in those days. You probably did it too, Don. I don't know. If you lived in the country, you sure did. We'd get our little traps, and I think we'd buy them for like 50 cents, and we could make 50 cents a pelt. So we'd set our traps. Brother Branham went out every Saturday night, swam out into the swamps to unset his traps as a 12-year-old boy. Do we have any 12-year-olds in here? No? As a 12-year-old boy, Saturday night, he wanted to get out there and back before midnight so that he would keep the Lord's day. Now let me tell you something. I can speak from experience because I've been there and I've walked away from all of it. I signed 3 one-year contracts with the Minnesota Vikings to play professional football for them. And I walked away from it because the games were played on Sundays and the Holy Spirit kept speaking to me while I was in the training camp. And he said, what will you profit if you gain the world and you lose your own soul? Now listen, brothers and sisters, we are promised if we seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. Brother Brown, as I mentioned, was just 12 years old and he unset his traps. And remember, God spoke in tongues through a brother who had never even heard of speaking in tongues before. But at the end of a service, God spoke to this young man in tongues. God spoke through that young man to his prophet, William Brown. Now, why, you say, he was a prophet of God. Why didn't God just speak to him? Because you're looking at the vessel. God don't care who the vessel is. He said, I can make these rocks to cry out. Hallelujah. And God spoke to this young man. And Brother Branham kind of reminds us of it in his Sermon of the Paradox. He said, the words are spoken because thou hast chosen the narrow path. See, just against, now I have to walk by myself, or yourself, see, I can understand that. Moses had to make his choice too, see. He didn't have to do it, but he did it. See? The harder way, thou, see, because thou hast chosen the narrow path, the harder way thou hast made, thou hast walked of your own choosing. In other words, I didn't have to do it. I can side in and go with them if I want to do it, but I want to stay with the word. Thou hast picked the correct and the precise decision, and it is my way, saith God. If you notice, it's punctuated and underlined. And if you notice, it's wrote in French, this. Spoken French, verb before the adverb, see? Because of this momentous decision. When did he make that decision? When he was 12 years old. Listen. When he was 12 years old, just a Catholic boy, hadn't had an experience with the pillar of fire, he made a decision at that time to honor God in his life. Because of this momentous decision, a huge portion of heaven awaits thee. Hallelujah. What a glorious decision thou hast made. This in itself is that which will give and make come to pass the tremendous victory in the love divine. Now listen, we all know, because we've hammered it over and over and over again, that when you are born of the Holy Spirit, you are a child of God, you're in the family. But unless you're the right kind of son, you will not receive the inheritance. You'll make it over there. You're going to make it. Your children. You'll make it. But what will you have when you're there? He's going to have a great portion of heaven. How about you? Now listen. You say, well, he was ordained to be a prophet, blah, 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 blah. He didn't have to do it. God gave him free moral agency. Didn't have to do it. But there's something in him that loved God so much that as a 12-year-old boy who didn't even know God, but he knew what was right, and he knew it was right not to kill on Sunday, those set those traps free. And so that little boy swam out into, you know what a swamp is? How many of you, Don, you got one in your backyard? I think you, what do you call it? A pond. Call it a pond, but it's a swamp. I mean, I'm not downgrading it. I'm just saying it's got water, it's got tadpoles, it's got, you name it, snakes and everything else. It's not a swimming pool. Although you can use it for that. But anyway, this young boy, 12 years old, and listen, he grew up in Jeffersonville. He grew up across the road from the river. Where did he go to the swamps? Well, I tell you, they're down the road quite a ways. And he had to go down the road quite a ways. And it reminded me of a brother I met in Africa who he went out. He read where Brother Brown did that, and he wanted to honor God. But his family was starving, but he had traps set out there. And he said, but I'm going to go out on Saturday evening, and I'm going to unset my traps. And you know, before midnight struck, in fact, about 10 o'clock that night, he had just unset what he thought was his last trap. And all of a sudden he heard a blood-curdling yell. He thought, oh my goodness, I had one left to go. And it sounds like some little child fell into it. He'd go running over to that trap to unset it. And here was this big old deer that could feed his family for, he said, 2 weeks. Honor God and he'll honor you. Therefore, you young boys in here, let me give you some advice. Don't you play ball on Sundays for anyone. You reserve that day entirely for God, and he will bless that single act of dying to self for the rest of your life. Remember the Olympic runner from Scotland. His name was Eric Liddell. He was the fastest man in England in the 100 meters, and he went to the Olympics to run that race. But when they had his trials on Sunday, he refused to run them. And there was a whole big fuss because even the Prince of Wales came to him to try to convince him otherwise, but he refused to back down. So a teammate who was Jewish ran in his place because his Sabbath was Saturday. And so Eric Liddell then was to run the 400 meter race. He'd never run it before. He'd never practiced it. But God gave him breath. And like wings of an eagle, he rose up and God gave him victory. But before the race began, an American sprinter, and Eric Liddell was a missionary, raised in a missionary family. He died as a missionary years later in Japan during the war. But before the race, an American sprinter came up to him and he handed him a piece of paper with a scripture written on this. And the scripture was 1 Samuel 2 and verse 30. Now, I just pray that all of you would write this down, put it into your memory block. Because God says, "For them that honor me, I will honor them. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." So God stepped in and God gave him breath to run that race that was set before him. And he won the gold medal for his country as well. Running a race he hadn't even prepared for. But that's because he chose to honor God and God honored him. The 400 is a sprint like the 100, but the 400 is a different kind of sprint. And he ran all out and won that. Oh, hallelujah. Remember and never forget, all things will work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are thee called according to his purpose. Over my career, I've turned down at least 7 jobs that paid in 6 digits to go other places, along with bonuses that were 25%. So that would play, and this is back, look, this goes back to the early 90s. That's, what, 21 years ago. What would that be worth today? I turned down, in 1 year, I turned down 7 jobs. Before that, I turned down 1-year contracts with the Minnesota Vikings. Why? To serve my God. I said to myself while I was in camp, I heard these guys who call themselves Christians talking about wife swapping and every deep devil thing you can think of. And the Holy Spirit kept hounding me while I was there. And I said, well, if I'm going to be the best football player, then I'm going to be the best football player. But if I'm going to be the best Christian, I mean, if I'm going to be a Christian, I'm going to be the best Christian. And I can't be the best Christian and be the best football player. Now, as much as I love Tim Tebow for his confession, he plays on Sunday. He's broken one of the 10 commandments in doing so. Thou shalt honor the Sabbath. I'm sorry, brother, sister, but we got right in this message, we have people that the minute they get home, out of church, they go watch their football games, basketball games. Listen, that box, Brother Bram said, is a curse. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. So God honored him for honoring God. I ask the question, will you do the same? Will you do the same? Now we're talking about departing from the faith. And you say, oh, it's only a football game. It's only a basketball game. Departing from the faith. You say, but I go to church. Listen. You become in the stature of Christ by adding word upon word upon word. We all know that, correct? Uh-huh. You know how you depart from the faith? By not adding word. In other words, by disbelieving one word, and then another word, and then another word, and finally it's a full departure. From Jehovah Jireh, part 2, Brother Brown says, what a hope it is for the church tonight in the hour of darkness, superstition, sensations, and intellectual. The Holy Spirit said in the last days they'd come an intellectual church. The Spirit speaks expressly, 1 Timothy 4, in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of the devil. Sure, having a form of godliness. What were they doing? Heady, high-minded. Dr. PhD, LLE, QSD, all these titles. Why? Dr. So-and-so, at times, and so-and-so is our pastor. I'd rather some man being my family or my child that didn't know the difference between split beans and coffee and knowed Christ. That's right. Take him out yonder where by an old stump and kneel down on his knees and pray with him till the Holy Ghost comes into him. I'd rather have that than all the psychology you can pour into a man by doctor's degrees. Tell him the Word of God. Yes. You see, I would like to see you young people in here grow up to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. Instead of setting your heart, you young men, young boys, instead of setting your heart to be a good baseball or basketball or football player, set your heart to be a preacher sent from God. Set your heart to be a man of God that God will use to bring others, to impart life unto others. Because that's what it's all about. That's the eternal memorial. Amen. So the prophet of God shows us how that they will depart from the faith. And he says it comes by degrees. Now he used PhD, LLD and all those things, but what he's saying, it's coming by degrees. Disbelieving one word at a time. One word disbelieved by one word disbelieved. Here a little and there a little. And the falling away is just the opposite of coming into the image of the firstborn son, which is completed by piling word upon word upon word. But you also depart the same way, only in reverse. One word set aside by one word set aside by one word set aside until the word is entirely absent from your life. Now, in fact, that is what we hear in the scripture, Isaiah 28. I'm going to read from the Amplified Version. But in the future messianic day, the Lord shall become a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty to the converted remnant of his people. And for the spirit of judgment, which the spirit of judgment is the judge himself, to him who sits in judgment, that's his elect. See, the spirit of the judge to those who sit in judgment, that's his elect, because we shall judge the earth. And a source of strength to those who turn back the battle at the gate. Where's the gate? Right here. You're all soldiers. And the greatest battle is ever fought is right here in the mind. And you turn back the battle at the gate. Alright? Notice, but even those that are at the gate, which are gatekeepers, or so-called ministry in this day, you're all kings and priests, even these reel with wine and stake with strong drink. Who? The priest and the prophet have erred through strong wine. They are confused by the strong wine, and they are confused by the stimulation of revelation, and they stagger and are gone astray through strong drink. In other words, this message is pretty strong meat. It's strong drink. It's strong revelation. And a lot of people are totally gone into confusion and delusion. Remember, we preached a sermon not too long ago, delusion or revelation. And therefore all tables have become full of vomit, so that there is no place that is clean. Whom will he teach knowledge, and whom will he make to understand the message? Those who are babies, just weaned from the milk, taken from the breast? Is that what we think that we are? Is that what he thinks that we are? For it is his prophets repeating over and over, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, rule upon rule, rule upon rule, here a little and there a little. No. But the Lord will teach the rebels in a more humiliating way. By men with stammering lips and foreign tongues will he speak to this people and teach them his lesson. So you'll take a man who's uneducated by the things of the world, eighth grade education out of the hills of Kentucky, with foreign lips, stammering lips. Moses had stammering lips. Brother Bram had stammering lips. And he'll teach this people in a humiliating way, because he's hidden in humility. Amen. Amen? No, the Lord will teach the rebels, those who are rebellious, in a more humiliating way by men with stammering lips, foreign tongue, when he speaks to his people and teach them his lesson. To these complainers, the Lord has said, this is the true rest and the way to true comfort and happiness that you shall give to the weary, and this is the true refreshing, yet they would not listen to his teaching. That's his doctrine. Therefore the word of the Lord will become to them merely monotonous repeatings. A precept upon precept upon precept, rule upon rule, rule upon rule, little here, little there, blah, 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 blah. Preacher's got four sermons, just rotate them. that they may go and fall backwards and be broken and snared and captive. Notice he says, the purpose for them in their falling away is they will go backwards. They will fall backwards. They will be broken. They will be snared, and they will be taken captive. Captive to what? And that is the final state of these people that are falling away because they have loved not the truth. You've got to love it, brother, sister. Now notice they shall fall. Listen, let me just say this. And I can say it because it's happened to me. I can say it because I know it, Brother Steve. When I met him, and I was just a young man, I think I was 29 when I started pastoring. And so I don't know, Steve's a few years older than I am, so he was maybe 32 or 3. And everything to us back when we were young was sport, sport, sport. 12-hour days of sport. And God just ripped that out of my heart. Ripped it out of Steve's heart.
Help me, Lord.
Well, see, when you die to yourself, he takes over. So notice, that's the final state of these people falling away because they love not the truth. And I say, you got to love it. Notice, they shall fall backwards. And remember, in Moses' day, they wanted to go back to the flesh pots of Egypt. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 13:22, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word. So they're hearers of the word. But the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, it chokes the word. And he, see the word, doesn't say the word becomes unprofitable. And he becomes unfruitful. Notice he allows the cares of this life to come in and take over. The word gets squeezed out from your preeminence. And the cares of this life becomes a preeminent thing in your life and when you die off from bearing any fruit in your life. It's like placing a tourniquet around your arm and leg. And as you tighten it, the blood stops going to that limb. And before too long, that limb will begin first to weaken, then turn color, begin to rot, and then it will die and it must be amputated if it's left down there long enough. And if it's amputated, it will never bear fruit. You can never use it again. Hebrews 6. And that's what the cares of this world will do to your soul. Now, I don't mean to crack jokes up here, but my mother was a nurse back in the days of, that's where she met my father, before the Korean War. She was a Navy nurse. And they used to play a trick on the young doctors coming out of school. And so they go and tell the doctor they need a neck tourniquet. Doctor, not knowing what a tourniquet was, he'd go looking for it. And I just thought I'd throw that in because it's been a little somber in here. Amen. But it doesn't happen immediately. Notice that the falling back, falling away, the dying off doesn't happen immediately. But it happens slowly. The life goes out of the word, and then you find no fruit to show in your life because there's no word anymore. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that hears the word and understands it, which is also bears fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. That's why we should never be upset with people when they don't come up to our expectation of the word. There's some 60, some 100, and some 30. Every man is given a measure. Now, and as I said, I don't get, I'm not mad. I love you. But I want you all to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. And he had to die to self. You know, Jesus had to die to himself before he died on the cross in Gethsemane. He said, Father, take this cup from me, but nevertheless, my will is that you take it from me. I really don't want to go through it. But nevertheless, I will because I know you're pleased if I do. I'm not looking at my pleasure. I'm looking at your pleasure. It's not about me. It's about you. Now let's continue. The next verse says that they will be speaking lies in hypocrisy. In other words, they know better, but they go ahead and teach their error anyway. And when you tell a lie over and over and over again, you begin to believe that lie yourself. And your conscience becomes seared, and you no longer recognize what is true and what's error. Your discernment is gone, and it says having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, this is figurative language here only. It doesn't say that they literally take a hot iron and they sear their conscience, because where are you going to find it? It's spirit. But that's an expression that we use, meaning their conscience is so fired, it's so burnt up, they wouldn't be able to distinguish right from wrong. They've been living in the lie so long, it's become part of their life. You talk to these politicians, they can't tell you the truth if they wanted to. They don't know how to tell the truth. They're so used to compromising everything they say and watching how they say it, so it'll be taken in a certain way, knowing that they really mean it in a different way. That's the way they work. And then he says, forbidding to marry. The Catholic priest is one example of that, just one. And commanding to abstain from meat. Now you might want to place that in the Catholic Church as well. That's okay. But that's right here in this message as well. It's right amongst the Seventh-day Adventists. Which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving. Now notice, not by everybody, but of them which believe and know the truth. And if you believe and know the truth, you won't fall for such tummy rot as that. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Now, we've just read some of the ways that the Bible teaches us that men will depart from the faith, by taking on doctrines of man. You have to cast off the doctrine of Christ. And then Paul tells us, 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Well, who is that man of sin? That's the unbeliever. You know, you want to say, well, that's the Catholic Pope, and so we'll wait for the falling away to come, and then, you know, the Son of Man be revealed, the son of perdition. Listen, every man that turns away from God is a son of perdition. Judas was called a son of perdition. Now notice, what day cannot come until there comes a falling away first? He said in verse 2, that you be not soon shaken in mind, nor be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letters, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. So when the presence of God in all of his glory has come down to give us his glory, this is the hour that we are glorified together with him. This is the same hour that men can't take that light. And the Bible says this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness in a greater way than they love light. See, they're religious. Oh, I love light. But they'll choose to do this instead of what God says to do. Now notice, so one of the earmarks of the day of Christ is at hand is that there has to come a falling away first from the faith. And the falling away is not all of a sudden they're gone, but it is in little here and a little there. It's incremental. Lay aside this scripture because, lay aside this one. Well, you know, pretty soon you're laying them all aside. Brother Brown said the first time you go through the red light, something in you says, don't do it. Mm-hmm. Second time, he says, a little bit easier. Third time, a lot easier. And he said, that's the way lies are. You tell that first lie and it's just incriminating. It's so, and you can't help. Mom, Dad, forgive me. Second time, it's not as hard. Third time, not as hard. And you keep telling them. And it becomes second nature. One word set aside on top of another word set aside. Might be another 2 or 3 years, but then another word set aside. Pretty soon, you're completely gone from the Word of God. Then one day you realize that they're gone, plumb gone from the faith altogether. But it took, in most cases, it could take years to fully transpire. Like Brother Brown said, if you say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt in your heart, one pebble at a time, one sand grain at a time will start to move. falling away happens the same way. Just believe the prophet. Just believe God's prophets. One word. Oh, he didn't mean that. There you go. There's your little finger in the dike. You know, there's your little water trickling. You see, how do you know that? Because Jesus told of two others who were sown the same seed, word. And one was sown on the side of a road, the wayside, and quickly Satan took it out of his mind, out of their minds. It never had time to settle into their hearts because these had no understanding at all, and the seed just sort of blew away. And the word heart is referred to as understanding in the scripture. So it just, they had no understanding. They had no, it didn't go to their heart. Then he mentions the seed that was sown onto stony ground, but when the sun came up, they had no root. And the seed died off before anything could come of it because of the tribulations. But the seed that was received, yet that person allowed the cares of this life to have the preeminence in their life. The word got choked out because there was no room for it. And this falling away comes because they received not a love for the faith. Christ, the word, had no preeminence. Now I ask you, you're all message believers. But do you all obey God's Ten Commandments? All of them. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods. Covet thy neighbor's wife. Keep holy the Sabbath. You shall have only one God. Remember, God is an object of worship. You shall have only one. Behold, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. You got two lords, you break the commandment, the first commandment right there. You got three, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Trinity, you break the commandment right there. You got three lords. No. The Lord thy God is one Lord. So, the cares of this life chokes the word. The word. The Bible speaks of Jesus. He said he grew up like a tender plant. A tender plant. The word of God manifested in flesh. A tender plant. The Holy Spirit in you is like a dove. And a dove will never light on a wolf. Mm-hmm. Only a lamb nature. Lamb is a self-sacrificial animal. That's the only. Now, from Go Tell, Brother Bram said, God tells us in verse 10 to 11, and with all deceivableness of unrightwiseness in them that are perishing, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, what cause? The fact that they don't love the word. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. And you think you can not be deluded when God sends it to you? And that they should believe the lie, that they might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in an unright wiseness. And then they actually end up taking pleasure in a wrong understanding of the word. Now, let's look a little bit more in depth of this falling away. Brother Brown said in his sermon, God's only provided a place of worship. He said, Babylon was founded by Nimrod, and Nimrod was a renegade. And according to Webster's dictionary, a renegade is a person who abandons his religion for another. Is an apostate. In Matthew 24, verse 8 to 13, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. This is the end time. They'll be offended, number one, then they shall begin to betray one another, and they shall hate one another. And Brother Ram said, why am I against organized religion? He quotes 1 Timothy 4. He said, the Holy Spirit speaketh in the last days, they will depart from the faith and give heed to seducing spirits. It also said the Holy Spirit spoke that in the last days they'd be heady, high-minded, and hateful. Wow. Bless God, you belong to us, or you don't have your name on our book. You're lost. Hateful and unclean birds. Hey, that's happening here in this message. I hope it doesn't happen in this church. I hope you never hate people because they differ with you over doctrine. Mm. Notice God's word says, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And the word offend was translated from the Greek word scandalizo, which means to cause a person to begin to distrust and desert one that he ought to trust and obey, to cause to fall away. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved.
Amen. Amen.
Well, who's that one? Who's that one that we ought to trust and obey? A vindicated prophet. And people will come and say, well, you know, when Brother Branham says this, you know, you can take it this way or this way. He really doesn't mean what he says. When has God been a liar? Or the voice of God, a liar?
Oh, sure.
Now, that's the excuse that they're using. Well, he didn't mean it that way. Then you tell me, brother, how he meant it. Oh, they can tell you how they think he meant it, and it's a complete lie.
Oh, sure.
It's completely false from what the vindicated prophet said. Anybody, any person, anyone, whoever. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
There's a departing from the faith. And how has it happened? By giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. John 63-71. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now notice, John 6 and verse 66. That is 666. Right? From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more. The mark of the beast, what is it? To reject the word of God in your mind first and then in your actions. And then you do what? Who was the beast? Who had the first mark of the beast? Cain did. And what did Cain do when he received that mark? He walked out from the presence of the word of God. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you go away also? Then Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? He didn't say where we're going to go. To what place we're going to go? He said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe that and are sure that thou art the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answering them said, have I not chosen you and you 12, and yet one of you is still a devil? And he spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he that should betray him, because being one of the 12. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because of the Jews sought to kill him. You don't go where people don't like you. You don't show up and, well, praise the Lord, I'm here to fellowship. Fellowship with what? They hate your guts. Just let them alone. Mm-hmm. When the Bible says, you know, if you after one or two admonitions reject as a heretic, it doesn't say speak evil of them. It says just let them alone.
Mm-hmm.
You try to help, they won't take it. Just let them alone. Let them go. Spend your effort on someone else. Notice Peter said, to whom shall we go? Not to where shall we go. You see, we as sons of God are stewards of life, eternal life. And that life is not placed in places. It's not placed in churches. It's placed in sons of God. Some people think their church is where it's happening. And perhaps at one time, God was moving in that church by His Spirit, anointing a vessel that was yielded. But when He takes that vessel off the scene, unless another vessel, yielded vessel, raises up with that same God life in Him, that church will sink and it will die. Because Brother Branham preached a sermon called God's Provided Place of Worship, and it was not a church or a certain place. He said that place is in Christ. And if Christ is in the vessel, if he's in the vessel, then that church will prosper in the things of God. But when God removes that vessel, it will die like every organized religion has died. And then the men of that church will try to restore the life back into the church, and they will play tapes to try to bring it back and keep the life going. But if there's not a vessel that's anointed by God to lead them on, I don't care how many tapes you play. Brother Branham said, God uses people. But that is not how God works. He works through men. Men who are alive. Men who are filled with the Spirit. So they can reflect His life, His God life to the church, and impart that same life to others. But you'll not find that life in men who have surrendered to the cares of this life. No. These men are either dying or they are dead. And death cannot impart life. It takes life to impart life. From Hebrews 3 and verse 7, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness. Now, I preached an entire message on the hardening process, and I'm going to give it to you in just a few sentences. If you'll notice, God sent the plagues in Egypt. There was 10 plagues sent to Egypt. But He sent the plague, and then He gave a time, a period of rest between plagues. He didn't hammer. He brought a plague, discomfort, pain, and sorrow. And then He kind of let things go by. Let it lighten up, let it return to normalcy. And every time God did that, the people grew harder. It's like when you temper metal. If you temper metal, you take metal, you heat it up, and then you dip it in cold water, and you cool it. That makes that metal harder. And you do it several times, it makes it very, very hard. But if you keep doing it, that metal will become so hard, it'll break. Snap it with your hands. And that's how God does those who do not love His appearing. Those who do not love His word. It's incremental. The hardening process is incremental. He'll give you a trial. You make it through the trial. He gives you time of reprieve to see what's really in your heart. You go back to your old ways, He gives you another trial. Then He gives you a reprieve. If you go back to your old ways, eventually, you know what? You've been tried so many times and found wanting. And you're just going to snap. That's it. God's done. There comes a day when you no longer hearken to His voice. He said, hearken this day. And if you get to that point where you don't hearken anymore, He says, okay, you're done. You're done. So I swear in my wrath. He says, notice, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be found in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, the present God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. That's parhesia. While it is said today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, albeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom he sware that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Just give me a few more minutes and we might not be able to make it through, but we'll continue this Wednesday night. Hebrews 10:35-39. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, your parhesia, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, My soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul.
Amen.
Notice all these scriptures. I've got over 100 scriptures in this sermon. I don't know how many we've covered so far, maybe 20. I've got a lot more. And actually, I've already broken half. What you're seeing here, this little thing there, I've got just 10 pages of 20 pages. And the reason why I couldn't give you all of it, because there are just so many scriptures, and I had the scriptures, but I didn't have them written out yet. Once they're written out, it probably becomes 30 pages. Now, Hebrews 12:25. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. Well, who's speaking in this hour? There's one voice. He said, well, you know, but Brother Bell, he's a voice, and Brother Brian, you're a voice. No, I'm not. No, he wasn't. There's one voice of the age, the voice of the prophet. And we're to say the same thing that he said. See? See that you refuse not him that speaketh. Who descended with a shout? William Branham? Nope. But that was God's voice God used. Amen? See that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they had escaped not who refused him that spoke on earth, that was through his son Jesus, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him who speaketh from heaven. And the Lord himself has descended from where? Heaven. With a shout. Your very life depends on hearing one anointed with the holy life. Acts 13:41. Behold, you despisers, you'll wonder and perish. For I work a work in your day. Who's speaking? God is. A work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declares it unto you. 2 Peter 3:17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things before, beware lest you also, you that have known this before, beware that you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. In other words, it's a daily dying to self. 1 John 3:11-12. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, that poneros one, and he slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil. Same were poneros, and his brothers were righteous. And what did that evil work, that wrong, that out of date, that wrong, that sacrifice back to God for another age, what did it end up doing? What was the fruit it bore? It murdered. It hated. And it murdered. 2 Timothy 3:1-9. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Times of great stress, great anxiety. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Look at the basketball players. Lovers of their own selves. Look at the baseball players. Football players. You think there's any example of a right-thinking man playing those sports today? Making millions of dollars and spending it on other graft and everything else? You know, Icky Woods. The man made $3-4 million in a season. And when he was no longer playing, he was selling meat out of the back of his trunk of his car. Meat. To make a living, selling meat out of the back of his trunk of his car. Why? What happened to the millions? Spent on worthless. Look, God gives you millions. Do something for the kingdom of God with them. Help people overseas that don't even have shoes on their feet. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous and boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers and false accusers, incontinent, fierce, and despisers of those that are good, traitors and heady and high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they have all proceed no further. They shall all proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, and my patience. In this country, when I was in junior high school and high school, you could not have a football practice, baseball practice, wrestling, track, hockey, whatever, on a Wednesday night. You know why? It was church night. You had to go to your church for catechism to learn your faith. You couldn't go to the stores on Sunday. They weren't open. They didn't have Little League playing on Sundays, because that was a day to be worshiping God. How far has this nation fallen? When the government, and it's been proven, almost every one of them in top levels worship Moloch. They have their little page boys for their little sexual escapades. Even President Nixon, and I can't use his language because it was very foul, but when he went and hobnobbed with those people at that place where they have the owl, they do the worship of Moloch, and all the big wigs there, everybody's going to be president has to go there. He said, I never met so many blankety blank faggots in all my life. That's what's running your government. Worshippers of Moloch. We're no different than what it was in the days of Judges. 2 Timothy 4:3. So, if we're no different than in the days of Judges, how about if God raised up a Jephthah or a Gideon among us? Men of faith who will destroy those evil things of the devil. When God raised up Columba, he did exactly that. He went to Scotland. He started destroying every one of those evil statues and places where the Druids came to worship, and they hated him. They hated him so much, they tied him to a tree that was on a hill. They started chopping the tree down. He was tied on the bottom side. They figured that tree will fall down. It'll crush him. And God turned it on him, because when that tree, instead of falling downhill, it fell uphill and crushed those that were cutting it. Hallelujah. I love our God. Amen.
Amen.
He's got a sense of humor too. All right. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. Hebrews 6:4. For it is impossible for those who have been once for all enlightened, have tasted of the heavenly gift, were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, have tasted the good word of God and the power of the world to come, if they shall deviate from the truth. Deviate. The prophet said this. Yeah, I know, but you know, it could be taken this way.
Mm-hmm. All right.
What happens? They're not in the way anymore. It is impossible for them to once again come to repentance, which is the change of mind, seeing that they crucify to themselves, the Son of God afresh, or as Brother Brown put it, they are crucifying themselves by rejecting this word. Hebrews 10:26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for our unbelief. 2 Peter 2:1. But as there were false prophets among the people, even so shall there be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies. Bring into where? Into your love feasts, as we read last night in the book of Jude. Even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unright thinking. These are wells without water, clouds they are, carried about with tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. And if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if they are ever entangled therein again, in other words, if they ever go back to what they came out of, their latter end is worse for them than their beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But as it happened unto them according to the true proverb, a dog will return to his own vomit, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. 1 Timothy 6:3-8. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godlikeness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about with questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy and strife and railings and evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself, but godlikeness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we cannot carry anything out. I think we're going to close it this time. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for your word. I love it. Father, I know it takes the hide right off of our back, but we love it because we love you. And Lord, help the people to understand I'm not angry. I love them. And help them to understand I want them to be there. I want to spend eternity with them, to get to know them better, and to get to know you together with them better. I want to see them, Lord, during the time of the millennium, to be trained up for the time that they'll be kings and priests. To see them go out, to bring the leaves from the tree of life out to the nations, to bring the healing of the nations. I want to see every young son and daughter of God as a king and priest. I want to see them as yielded vessels. I want to see you, God, your life expressed through their limbs, through their voice, through their eyes, through their ears. This is my great desire, O God. I know firsthand, Father, what it means to do well in sport, and yet I know firsthand the dangers that lay there. And I know, Father, I saw in my own life as a young child, you even gave me dreams of doing mission work to Africa and different places. And yet when I got into junior high school and high school, I drifted from that. I got into sport. I got distracted. But you settled me down when I heard the voice of your prophet. You called me home. And Father, I've come. I pray, oh God, that these young people would just listen to your voice and be so attracted to it that their desire for success in this life would be to get others saved and filled with your God life. For you said the greatest of all is to impart life. May we be this little group of people here, oh God, every individual in here, from the youngest, oh God, which is little William, and then Daniel, to the oldest, which would be Brother Steve Gray. Father, I pray that every one of us in between would have so much life in us to be overflowing from our heart and our life, our mouth, our speech, our actions, until people would actually see you. Because that was Jesus. Jesus didn't come, oh God. We know he didn't come to show us himself, what he could do. But he came. He came so that people could see you. Our prophet, William Branham, didn't come to put on a show. He didn't come to show us what a great man William Branham was. He died to William Branham. And we saw you, Father. Now, Lord, we're all sons and daughters. And we have your God life in us. But help us, O God. Help us to avoid the cares of this life and the riches thereof. And help us to focus upon thee. Truly, O God, truly that will be written in the annals of eternity. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Because, Father, your prophet said, speaking of Irenaeus, that the people in France there were so well trained that it was almost on a daily basis you saw someone being raised from the dead, people being healed, Because he had confidence in you, Lord, like a child has confidence in their daddy. Help us, oh God, to have confidence in you. That when we come to you, and we know that our life, though being scoured by your word, which is discerns the very thoughts and intents of our heart, and you'll come, and when you discern us, you'll see only your word reflecting in our mind, in our heart. And we'll ask whatever we will, and you said you would do it. Father, this is where we want to be. I want to see, oh God, your children here, so much like you and like your firstborn son, that people will actually think they are like they thought Brother Branham was. And we ask this in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. Well, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and may the Lord make his face shine upon thee. Before we sing, I just would like to say, I received these from the Voice of God, printed these up. I have quite a few out there. I have some more back in the study. These are just little witnessing tools put together by the Voice of God. If you're the type that likes to witness, just pick up a handful, a packet or two. Take them with you. Sometime you're talking to someone, imparting life, you can give them one of those. Just doesn't have our church name on it. As a Voice of God, I don't care if they come here or where they go, but I just like to see that last soul come in, be child trained.